It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Larry Edson. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Sinner's Sunday, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, and all the women are pointy. We keep it loose and fresh here at Sinner's Sunday and try not to lock ourselves into any particular path or grind. So I thought I'd tell you about an event I attended yesterday at, yes, a church. People may have gotten the wrong impression over our last 33 gatherings that were here to demolish or denigrate or even ding organized religion. Not so. They do a lot of good around the world, and many people get tremendous benefits from their religions. Here we just like to kick back and take a look at things spiritual from our cozy little wooden chapel here with the warped floors and peeling paint. No gold, no marble, no bling. To each his own, right? Yesterday I attended this event at a local church, and it was extraordinary. For the first time in my life, I looked out over a crowd that was absolutely devoid of hypocrisy or meanness or deceit or envy or hatred or any sin whatsoever. It was a crowd in which I felt not just humbled but inferior, vastly so. Everyone in that crowd just radiated kindness, love, and friendship with no strings attached. After a few minutes among them, I began to wonder if I'd died and gone to heaven. Of course, you're wondering who they were. Here's a hint. Everyone in that crowd was on four legs. It was the annual beast blessing. I first heard of such a thing when I lived in New York. Way uptown in Manhattan was this enormous Protestant cathedral, St. John the Divine. And every year they would have a beast blessing, and people would bring not just their pets, but even, if I recall correctly from a kid, if the circus was in town, they'd march in giraffes and elephants. It would always get a big play in the news. Now, just down the road a piece here from Sinner Sunday Chapel is the TNS Dojo, where Moose, the guard dog, keeps 24-hour watch. He's a ferocious little guy, but also sweet and fun and always glad to see me. But he is afflicted with epilepsy. Terrible seizures. Every now and then, there's an electrical storm in his brain, and he'll just fritz out. And it's a scary thing to witness. Like he's being tasered, but worse. All the muscles in his little 14-pound body contract at the same time. If I'm there, I'll always grab him and hold him, try to immobilize him. He snaps his head back so hard, I'm sure he could damage his spine. Then, in the middle of the seizure, he stops breathing. Completely. Guess his throat contracts involuntarily, and that's the scariest part of all. His jaws lock, and you can't pull him apart to open his airway. A couple of times I've happened upon him when he's in mid-seizure, lying on his side, and they're so violent, his body will actually leave contact with the floor, like a fish flopping on a deck. When he starts breathing again, and the seizure begins to subside, I keep holding him. One time I didn't, and he walked around and banged into furniture, so it seems to make him blind for a while. When he returns to his senses, he sniffs everything like he's been away for months, and he's exhausted. Usually just mopes around for the rest of the day, sometimes part into the next. Yeah, I'm a big dog guy. I love him. Love my Moose. A little more background on Mighty Moose. He was born on the mean streets of Tijuana. My wife likes to tell people he was one of El Chapo's guard dogs. He was a rescue dog. And when we went to see the litter in L.A., there were only two left. One was twice the size of the other. Of course, my kids had to have the smaller one. I tried to convince them to go for the bigger pup because runts sometimes have other health problems, which I suppose has been proven true with Moose's neurological condition, but they really wanted the little guy. I picked up the bigger pup, and he was barely awake, and then when I held Moose, who weighed ounces he could have fit in a coffee cup, he came alive and licked my face. Sold. We took him home and wrestled with names for a couple of days. Nothing seemed to fit. My older daughter sat across the table from me, holding him, literally in the palm of her hand. And that's when I suggested Moose. Done. That was about 3 years ago. So yesterday we figured, hey, let's go over to that church and see what this beast blessing is about. I have to say, I was really, really impressed. There were a couple of hundred people there, all with their little critters. Mostly canines, but plenty of cats, too. And birds, lizards, hamsters. It was quite an array. They had a bunch of folding chairs set up, and this beautiful shrine to St. Francis. I'll put a picture of Moose in front of that shrine on my homepage at thatlarryshow.com. Of course, St. Frank was the original Dr. Doolittle, and his feast day was a few days ago. The guy could talk to the animals, and I'm willing to bet many of those conversations were better than he had with bipeds. I first mentioned him in episode 120, which also featured a Bible story about a talking donkey. Now, as many as we are, we're, of course, vastly outnumbered by other creatures. We do share this planet with them. Seems many of them were here long before we, and in all likelihood, they'll be here after we've blown ourselves to hell. So what does God think about them? I bet he's pretty fond of them. By the way, any Big Bang people should watch a fanning peacock and then defend their position. The Bible is just loaded with passages about animals. Most famous is probably Genesis, right? About filling the sky with birds and the creatures that creep and so on. But there's another one from the book of Job that's a little more puzzling. And here's what it says. Ask the beasts, and they will teach you. The birds of the heavens, and they will tell you. Or the bushes of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. So you might read that and think, okay, what can a chicken or a mackerel teach us? Sounds kind of dumb on the face of it. But maybe not. Animals live their lives and almost always die of natural causes. They don't worry themselves to death, or drink themselves to death, or eat themselves to death, or work themselves to death. They don't need Prozac or Valium. They don't need therapy. Although in Los Angeles, there are a number of dog psychotherapists, but hey, this is Weird Central. They don't blame anyone for their lives either. Animals just live their lives the way God hardwired them. When Moose is hungry, he eats. When he's tired, he sleeps. When he wants to play, he drops a ball in your lap. When he feels scared, lonesome, he leans on you or sticks his head under your arm, forcing you to hug him. When he starts having a seizure, he usually runs to me looking for help. He knows something bad is coming down. As far as I can tell, Moose doesn't compare himself to other dogs. At that gathering yesterday, there were Rottweilers rippling with muscle, French poodles with $100 haircuts, Pomeranians with blinged collars, Maltipoos with dye jobs of contrasting ears and feet. I didn't notice Moose looking at any of them with envy. When we left, I saw a Great Dane hop into a Bentley. Moose didn't seem to care that his ride was not a Bentley. The Bible is right. We can learn a lot from animals, and that education might begin by acknowledging that we are, after all, animals. And just like the rest of the creatures on earth, we've all been wired for happiness and health. It is often we who bypass that programming and slowly ratchet ourselves into ill health with addictions and envy and rage and lies and larceny and hypocrisy and the list is endless. But we do sometimes engineer our own misery and demise. Animals never do. You know, I'm a fan of brevity, and that passage from Job about learning things from other creatures might be condensed into something easier to remember. Maybe the message is, be a good animal. Try not to compare or critique. Enjoy the limitless bounty of this world and life clear-headed without chemical filters. Eat when you're hungry, sleep when you're tired, play when you can, and most of all, be grateful for whatever you've got. If we could all be good animals, the pharmaceutical companies would be bankrupt in a month. Shrinks would be looking for other work. Hey, look, Moose is here. Who let him in? Hey, why don't we go outside and throw a ball around with him for a while? Thanks for hanging with us today. If you want to contribute to Sinner Sunday, go to patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Write to us at thatlarryshow@gmail.com and come back and see us this Tuesday for the regular show at thatlarryshow.com. Woof, woof.